Your relationship can't survive on the leftovers of your time, your energy, or your attention.
That's why we created Grounded in Love, a couples retreat in Sedona, Arizona on beautiful Oak Creek Canyon. It's October 22nd to 25th, which is a Thursday to a Sunday.
This isn't just a getaway. This is for intentional days to slow down, reconnect, build emotional safety, and create the kind of relationship you've been working so hard to build.
We'll guide you through powerful workshops, private coaching sessions, plenty of powerful experiential moments to connect the two of you, and plenty of time for just the two of you to enjoy.
We intentionally limited this retreat to 8 couples so that you could have a deeply personalized experience. We have filled half of the retreat, so we have 4 spaces remaining.
So if you've been looking for the right time to invest in your relationship, this is it. Click the link in the show notes or email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, and we'll set up a 30-minute discovery call to make sure it's a great fit for you.
We'd love to spend the long weekend with you. If you are in a season of change right now and your relationship feels strained, you are not alone.
And more importantly, you're not stuck there.
Because transitions don't just create disconnection, they actually can create moments of strengthening your relationship like you wouldn't believe.
But only if you know how to navigate them.
So in this episode, we are going to walk you through on how to navigate transitions as a team. Not an I, not a you, a we.
From understanding your patterns
to communicating what's really going on underneath
and creating connection even when life feels uncertain.
Because the goal isn't about avoiding change.
It's to learn how to stay connected through it.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Innovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin, and we are transitioning into transitions
part two.
Last week, we talked about, you know, what are transitions? Like, you know, what are these moments that instead of pulling us together in our relationship, pull us apart? We named them, you know, we named a lot of common transitions couples go through. We talked about why. Even if these are good transitions, because a lot of these are like really wonderful transitions, bringing a new person into your life, a new job, moving someplace fun, new and exciting, but why it is that it pulls us apart. And then the subtle things that are activated during transition that lead to very common fractures. So if you're just tuning in for the first time today or you missed that episode, definitely head on back to Transitions Part 1 to kind of create the framework.
Yes.
Because today we're in solution phase, you know. We're talking about how couples can stay connected through change.
From the me to the you to the us. And we're rocking our transitions lately, just to let you know. So the tools that we discussed, they actually work.
We're using them right now. We are transitioning our business into a new building, which is super exciting. Yeah. It's classy. It's cool. But it's a transition. And we do transitions differently. And we're working towards sort of optimizing that and being mindful.
So today we're going to do 5 tools on how to start to navigate transitions together. And we feel like, I don't know, I just feel like that's more simple. And I love that we're breaking this up into a 2-part series. Like the first piece, like understanding why we lose each other and ourselves in transitions. And then the second one is, right, how do we like repair that and really get on the same page?
And I think this is an important one. Like when we go through these 5 tools, right? And everybody loves that, you know, whether they're in a coaching session or they're listening to a podcast, they like actionable steps, right?
Yes,
and so we're going to give them to you and lay them out. You can write them down. You know, you can look at the show notes. They're going to be in there. But I think it's important that the 5 tools can be used as you're approaching a transition, right? Mm-hmm. As like, hey, we know we have this thing coming up and from now on, we're gonna use these 5 tools. You can also use these 5 tools to reflect back on how you've navigated it transitions in the past, right, and maybe why it's created disruption in your relationship. So I feel like they're multi-purpose tools.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. First tool. Tool number one, name the transition out loud. Some of us wouldn't even think of like minor transitions as being a transitions, but you want to be able to name it. Like, for example, I think I talked about this in the part one, like my car broke down when I was driving home from Anaheim from our daughter's cheer conference. So I got home a day later, but I was able to recognize like, wow, missing an entire day of work and like coaching clients and emails, like that creates significant anxiety for me. If I wouldn't have had that, I would have come into the office the next day, felt overwhelmed, been more kind of flippant and dismissive towards you. It just would have, I understand my own anxiety. So the first one is just like naming the transition out loud, yes, whether it's for you or for both of you.
Yeah, because that is one of the major problems that we identified about transitions in the first episode, is that you just kind of go into this phase, this change. You don't talk about the fact that it's coming, that you're going to go into it. And then so you're both sort of running on your own systems. So if you can look at, you know, hey, we have this thing coming up this summer, and it's going to be a transition for us. So let's name what the transition is, right? We talked about this last time, is I'm transitioning. This is the first time that I've not been in Maine for the summer in 20 years, like mm-hmm. really almost all of our relationship. That's going to be a big transition. It's important that now here, the month before it happens, that Tara and I name it. We say, this is a transition. Let's just put it on the table that it's happening. That is the number one tool in orienting the two of you together.
Name the transition. There's many of them. Oh, we're new parents. Oh, we just got pregnant. Oh my gosh, we just became newly engaged. Wow, I'm starting a new business. Wow, one of us decided to become a stay-at-home parent. Wow, we just had a significant loss or a loss of a loved one. Like there's so many different types of transitions. Name it. Yes. Get really good at naming it.
And then it leads to the second tool. So you've named it. You know what it is. This is about to happen. Then each of you have the opportunity to share what your emotional experience is of it. And this is where it can be more tricky for one partner than the other, right? Like in this transition I have coming up, I've been talking a lot to you about a sense of loss and a sense of identity shift, right?
Yeah.
So then you know actually where I'm coming from.
And makes me know to be even extra supportive because I'm already so, so supportive of you, E. No, but for me, it's like, I might not have like feelings the way you're feeling around that transition, but I know that I have feelings of wanting to support you because you're being transparent with your feelings around your transition. So it could be an individual transition and the partner is in on it. So now they can be in this supportive, compassionate place, empathetic place.
I mean, because imagine, I wish I would have had this sort of insight. How many years ago? 15 or so years ago. Yeah. Imagine if I had said, Tara, like you're about to transition into being a step parent. What's that like for you?
Yeah.
I never asked that question. You spent a decade, hopefully not a full decade, but maybe close to it, trying to help me understand what that was.
Yeah.
And if I would have set a context up for that transition very early, it would have changed many things.
So many. I mean, and I'm thinking about, I think we did a podcast a few weeks ago with Casey and her husband around their pregnancy losses. That's like such a huge transition and we don't see it. We see people being like, oh, like, well, you can try again. And it's like, so you kind of just like, you know, almost like numb out this huge transition that just happened because of societal. I mean, again, I could get into it and then this could be a 2-hour podcast.
And if Tara is open about her emotional experience about a transition coming up.
Yes, like I was, like anxiety around our move to the new building.
And if I'm curious about it, we are instantaneously creating connection, emotional connection in a time of transition.
Can I also say like this is, because we get a lot of people emailing us about this, like even if you're like newly dating or you're together for a while, but like you decide you want to start having more like girlfriend nights or guy friend nights and you're going out without your partner, that is a transition. Now, so many couples don't discuss it. And so then now like jealousy starts to become an issue and like, oh my gosh, why are you being so overprotected or controlling? It's because they didn't talk about like, hey, what would it be like if I started to incorporate like a girls' night once every month because I feel like I really need that. Yeah. And so it just happens without being talked about. So the other person feels sideswiped. It's like, what just happened?
And it can be spurned for all kinds of different things. Like, so say we become empty nesters, right? And that's a transition. And we name it. And then Tara says, well, I think I'm going to be lonely without the kids. So I really want to make sure that I'm spending more time with friends. And then if we didn't have that discussion, I might be like, why is Tara like suddenly not around the house as much as she used to be? So incredibly important to both name the transition, mm-hmm. also share each other's emotional experience. And then this leads naturally to sharing, to knowing, to understanding what are each of your patterns during a time of transition.
Mine is anxious.
Mine is avoidant.
Right. Yeah. And it's not, we're not saying change them because they are naturally a part of our adaptations. Becoming aware of it so that you can support each other in it. Like, I don't want you crawling into your turtle shell, EJ. I want you to stay here with me. So how can I do that? How can I support you in like staying present with me and for my anxiety?
Yeah.
So we don't go back into disruptive patterns.
Well, and the same thing goes for Tara in a time of transition. She said that transitions make her anxious. And she goes into one of her adaptive behaviors around that is she gets very organized mm-hmm. and wants to have a list and then wants to make sure we're checking things off.
Love it.
If I'm not aware of that, if we haven't talked about it.
You'll feel controlled.
I'm going to feel controlled. I might just feel like.
Micromanaged. Okay, I'll stop.
Well, I might feel micromanaged. I definitely might feel micro. No, I might just not be supportive of that. I might be disruptive to that. Yeah. And that's, again, where those fractures settle in. So you want to know each other's patterns during transition in general, but also specifically to this transition.
So here's one that just came up as we're talking. This is so like, I'm just becoming aware of it. Like, you know how we put up like 3 or 4 Christmas trees in our house at the holiday season? And I always want everyone to be a part of it. And we like put on music.
The transition to Christmas is very important at our house.
And then like, I want everyone to like help decorate, yet I'm like controlling around where things go on the tree. So then I don't think I make it fun for our kids.
No.
And so then they like end up like not doing it. And then like, although I'm the one that created that like eggshell pattern, I'm also like, how come you guys aren't helping me decorate the tree? So I am aware that this holiday season, when we go into it in like 6 months, I'm going to be chill fox, man. Like whatever, wherever you want to put that, if you want to put the tree topper on the bottom, it's cool. I might move it later, but I won't tell anybody.
Yeah. Well, and then also you want it to be super jolly too, but like, yeah, all of us are sort of bracing. It's like, oh gosh, she's going to put up Christmas this weekend.
See, so like I just became aware of that. I don't know why, it just popped out of nowhere, but I love that I'm aware of that now because I can change it. So like it'll keep happening. Like, oh, I didn't even realize like that's what I was doing. And so the more you kind of start to think about like, what are the transitions? Like little transitions, bigger transitions, and how do I function?
Yeah. If you feel like you and your partner keep having the same conversation over and over, if you feel like you keep trying to connect, but you just miss each other, then this is for you.
So many couples are not lacking love. They are, however, lacking a roadmap. They feel overwhelmed, frustrated, and they're trying to figure it out on their own. Trust me, we know.
And Tara and I are now coaching couples globally. And honestly, it's become one of our favorite things to do. We're moving couples from me versus you to we. We're helping couples build that healthy, loving connection that they've always wanted.
This isn't about learning one more communication tool. It's about understanding yourself more deeply, understanding your partner more deeply to build that compassion, developing emotional safety, and building the relationship that you want to have in your life.
And because Tara and I coach every couple personally, we only have a limited amount of spaces available at any given time. So if you think the coaching might be the right thing for you, we would love to meet you.
You can schedule a complimentary 30-minute discovery call where we hear your story, we tell you about how we do our work, make sure that we're a really good fit.
You can click the link in the show notes, or you can email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com.
So please reach out. We would love to walk alongside you.
You actually skated right into the fourth tool, and that is reflect on past successes and struggles during transitions. Yeah. Look back to the past. You guys can all do this today. You can say like, man, I listened to this podcast about transitions, big and small. I know what they are. Like, let's talk about how we actually deal with them. You know, like another one is like, this is a very small transition, but when we transition into having guests over the house, Tara has a certain way in which she reacts to it. And I reacted to it forever because I didn't see it as a transition. And I just kind of would get, you know, I would feel controlled. I would feel micromanaged. And I've realized now, like, oh, that's a big transition for her. Like the house and our readiness for it, and even our connection throughout the party, the transitioning from just us around the house to a group of people over the house. Like, I need to reflect on ways that we succeed and we struggle during those times.
Yeah. Well, it kind of, again, that kind of bleeds into the fifth one, but like creating intentional connection rituals, because right when you were talking about that, I was like, oh, what about the transition from just leaving and coming home to each other? That is a transition. You are leaving the house, you're leaving each other's proximity, and you're coming home. And a lot of people aren't mindful of it, right? And like, we still are working on this together. But like, when I come home every day, I know that our golden retriever puppy, who's almost a year old, is going to come up and she is going to hug me and she's going to hold on to my leg until she's willing to let go. Imagine if that's what we did with each other.
I can't even get in there now because the dog's hugging you.
But even like, I get jealous of that. Even having like a connection ritual, whether before you leave, not the drive-by kiss, not the drive-by hug, like, hey, we're about to separate. I really want you to have a good day. Well, not for us because we're constantly together, but for a lot of other people who aren't working side by side within 6 feet of each other 24/7. It's like, how do we say goodbye in a way that feels really good? And how do we create that? That's why we do our little daily check-ins, our intentions for the day. And then how do we come back into each other's presence? Yeah. That happens every day. You could actually start there because it is a transition. Now you can create this intentional connection. And then from there, start talking about all the other transitions, smaller or bigger, and how you can create some connection around that and talk about it as a we instead of a you or an I.
Absolutely.
And understand each other better around like what your own individual transitions are like.
Yeah. Okay, so we went through the five tools, right? They're name the transition, share your internal emotional experience, know your patterns during transitions, reflect on past successes and struggles, and then create intentional connecting rituals during times of transition. Because again, it's moving away from the me and the you and the I into the we, right? Mm-hmm. Now we just want to talk about, there's like a general blanket we want to put over all of this, and that involves regulation, right? It's because we don't want to become reactive in times of transition, right? Yeah. We want to be on the same page. We want to be supportive of what's happening internally for each other. Mm-hmm. And so it feeds kind of into that fifth one a little bit, is it the more you stay connected, the more you regulate together, the more likely you're going to feel supportive of one another in a time of transition.
It's why we do, like in our relationship renovation model and the at home on Amazon, like one of the first, I think it's like exercise five, is like your daily check-ins, like creating a check-in that feels good for both of you, even if it only takes 5 minutes, because it starts to build this connecting piece where then you get a lay of the other person's emotional landscape, and like you have some sense of idea and you're not going into your stories or assuming what might be happening.
Yeah. So now we want to give you three common mistakes at times of transition.
Just three?
Just three.
There's like 1,000 of them.
The first is ignoring that there's a transition happening, is pretending like everything's just normal, you know, even though we've been doing it this way for however many years, now we're doing it different, yeah. and we're just going to kind of move forward. We're not yes. going to acknowledge it. That's probably the biggest mistake. And what that leads to is a second mistake, which is if we do that, we go into autopilot.
Yeah.
We're just acting instinctively instead of intentionally. And that's really the sort of, again, the...
So true.
What we're overlaying all of this is we want to identify transitions and we want to be very intentional during transitions.
Yeah, I was just thinking about like that drive home from us, from our office to their house. It's like not intentional. It's like I could just do it probably blindfolded, you know, but we don't want to show up like that in our relationships. But because we see each other all the time in our and our daily life is pretty predictable, we can easily go on autopilot, so we miss all of those ways of connecting during all those different transitions,
yeah.
whether big or small.
Yeah. And the third common mistake is when our partner is having some stress related to the transition, when we personalize it. You know, if our partner is a little more stressed out, maybe a little more checked out,
yes.
that we take it personally.
That was
like
me.
It must be a reflection on me. It must be a reflection on their care for me, how much they yeah. love me.
Yeah.
And if we can instead just recognize it as like, hey, honey, I see that we're going through this together and it seems to be hard on you. Like, I want to know more. Like, what's happening?
And not only does that help, like, with the two of you navigating transitions, you get to grow from where we're stuck from childhood. Because, again, we go through everybody's, like, genogram and individual timeline up until when they met to really understand what their coping skills are like and their regulation senses and what their modeling was like. And then at the at-home manual, like, you couples ask each other, like, gosh, it's probably a lot, but, like, what was it like from 0 to 10 and 10 to 18 and then, like, early adulthood? It's like we actually get to grow because we get stuck in these stages, which is why we react and we get triggered. Triggers are unprocessed information in our body that, like, we want to let go of. And so many of us are still reactive and in triggered states, and we don't deserve that. Like, we want to move through this together. Like, we are each other's teachers. So the triggers, the hijacked reactivity during transitions, like, oh, opportunities to learn, although very uncomfortable. And so I do think this is going to be like new, like for a lot of people, like they don't think of transitions as like just leaving each other for the day or gosh, I'm sick for 2 days. So I haven't been able to go to the gym or like I've just been sitting watching TV, which is fun for me for a day. But then I'm like, oh, I'm such a couch potato. Like I start to judge myself, right? So I just feel like having this conversation with your loved one, with your partner, is going to be so eye-opening. And like you guys know, we're here to answer questions, clarify more. Like we love it. And so we want to know what it's like when you do have this conversation around the transitions. Like what was that transition like?
And so if you're really interested in interacting with us more about this subject or any other subject we've hit in our 270-odd episodes, then join our free Patreon group, right?
Yes.
Because we give tips of the day in there. There's opportunities to just throw up questions. We have a live that we do once a month where you can jump in and ask questions or you can post questions you want us to address during them. Join that Patreon. It's in the show notes. It's an easy way to be supported on pretty much a daily basis from us. And so if you've listened to this episode and you've noticed like, wow, we do struggle with transitions. Know that you're not failing, right? You're not failing as a couple. You're just adapting without intentionality. And use those five tools we gave you. Have an awareness of the three mistakes that we identified and begin to adapt intentionally together.
Yes. And if you're curious about any of the upcoming events we have or our Patreon community, there is a link to our link tree in our podcast show notes. And we have our upcoming Sedona's retreat in October. We have our in-person community premarital workshop in July. But lots of fun things happening. And so you can always just like click that one link and it shows all of like, oh, EJ's men's group. There's just so much.
Yeah.
So you can just like click on the link tree and all of our stuff is there.
Absolutely. And please do us a favor, subscribe if you haven't already. Give us a rating, leave a review. I mean, it is incredibly helpful in spreading this sort of, you know, approach to relationship that we know will enrich people's lives when they hear it.
Yeah, and if you have any ideas, topics you would like us to talk about on our podcast, we love it. We love doing that. Thank you so much for listening. As always, take care of yourself, take care of each other, take care of those transitions. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react, and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same. Me and you have all the fame we need. Indeed, you and me are we.
Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react, and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work.